Hey everyone, I'm Thanos Davelis, and welcome back to The Greek Current, a podcast by the Hellenic American Leadership Council and Kathimerini, where we highlight the top stories of the day every afternoon with analysis from guest experts, policymakers, journalists, and HELC staff. Increased U.S.-Greek cooperation at the port of Alexandroupoli has highlighted its geostrategic significance for the transatlantic alliance, becoming a key element in shaping the bilateral relationship. As the port continues to see increased activity, many locals believe that increasing operations at the port and railroad will eventually benefit the rest of Evros as well, bringing new businesses and well-paid jobs to the region and motivating locals to stay. Stephen Tagel, who is currently based in Alexandroupoli, joins The Greek Current to talk about the significance of this port city for the U.S.-Greece relationship, look into the plans currently underway to upgrade the port, and explore how local residents view these developments. Stephen Tagel is a fellow from the Institute of Current World Affairs, funded by the Stavros Niarchos Foundation. He previously served as speechwriter for the U.S. Embassy in Athens and as a Fulbright Fellow in Greece. Stephen, welcome onto The Greek Current. It's great to have you with us today.
Thanks, Thano, for inviting me.
Stephen, Alexandroupoli, which you visited recently and which you've been covering, is becoming one of the key areas shaping the U.S.-Greece bilateral relationship. Historically, the city has always been a transport hub. What's behind the city's new increased geostrategic significance?
Well, right, like you said, Alexandroupoli was sort of founded because of its strategic geographic location. And it was the combination of the railroad with the outlet to the Aegean Sea, which made it this really important spot and resulted in the development of shipping agencies there, banks and embassies and consulates. So Alexandroupoli is really becoming a bright spot in Greece for U.S.-Greece relations. And the U.S. military especially is seeing Alexandroupoli as a faster, cheaper, and safer alternative to shipments to Eastern Europe and the Black Sea in comparison with transport through the Bosphorus Strait in Istanbul. But military cooperation isn't the only prong of U.S.-Greece cooperation there. You also have energy cooperation with the Alexandroupoli FSRU and the gas-powered electric plant that's going to come online in the next couple of years. And you have the port concession as well, where the port of Alexandroupoli is going to be privatized, and you have two really big American investors who are interested in taking on that port for the next 42 years.
Stephen, I want to look at the bidding process currently underway for the concession to operate the Alexandroupoli port. It looks like the U.S. is serious about winning this bid. And as you said, two of the four bids are American. Why is this so significant for the U.S.?
The reason this is really significant for the U.S. is because of the geopolitical implications of the port. Back in 2016, near the height of Greece's financial crisis, the U.S. sort of stood by as the Chinese state-owned company COSCO bought 51% of the Piraeus port outside of Athens. And in October, that percentage grew to 67%. So you have China, which has gotten this great foothold in southeastern Europe as a gateway to the European Union for Beijing's Belt and Road infrastructure initiative. And meanwhile, in northern Greece, Ivan Savvides, who is linked to Putin and the Kremlin, bought a 67% stake in the port of Thessaloniki. So winning the concession for Alexandroupoli could help the United States check its rivals' growing influence in the Eastern Mediterranean. In addition, I think the port has some really valuable features. The most important thing I think about the port is that it connects multiple modes of transportation. So you have the train tracks going right into the cargo terminal, and that's something that has been a feature of the port since the founding of the city. You also have the airport less than 5 kilometers away, and you have Via Egnatia, which is the land route, the road network, which is connecting the port through Thrace, across Greece, but also going up into the Balkans and Eastern Europe.
Stephen, you talked about how China and Savvides, who's got these links to Russia, had won concessions in the port of Piraeus and then in Thessaloniki. Are we seeing them also compete in Alexandroupoli?
Yes, we are. So in addition to the two U.S. bidders, Black Summit and Quintana, you have a third bid from the French giant Bolloré in collaboration with the Propelizos Energy Group and Gold Air Cargo. And then the fourth interest is the Port Authority of Thessaloniki, which, as we said, is controlled largely by Ivan Savvides.
What's the view from Greeks on this bidding process? Is there a clear indication of a preference?
I haven't heard a lot about the support of French interest or the port authority of Thessaloniki. But it seems as though locals in the town have gotten used to the American presence, and they're very welcoming of the American presence in the city. And I think that's largely a function of these U.S. military operations through Atlantic Resolve and other operations that are happening at the port. So there's a sort of familiarity and these relationships that are being built between locals with Americans because of the ongoing presence at the port.
And I want to dig into that a little deeper. You've talked to a number of locals, from business leaders to workers at the docks, for example. How do Alexandroupolis' residents view these developments and the cooperation with the U.S., not only for their city, but for the broader Evros region?
So I think overall, the reaction from locals has been super positive. I've talked to a lot of friends since I've been living here in Alexandroupolis. And I think for a large part, they see the American presence as sort of a safeguard in case Turkey does any provocative actions. These are people who have weathered the storm of Erdogan's migrant push in 2020. And over the past 2 years, they've seen these explorations from the Oruç Reis, which have raised tensions in the Aegean. Turkish fighter jets flying into Greek airspace have broken records in recent years. And so in many ways, I think that locals believe the American presence will provide safety. And that's something that we saw with the updated NDCA as well, in the letter from Secretary Blinken that was really lauded in the Greek press. And in addition, I think that business owners are really keen to be working with Americans. The owner of the Greek hotel, Asir Egmatia, that I spoke with, told me that his American clients are always polite, very respectful. There's sort of a very clear expectation about what's provided, and that's gladly accepted by the U.S. clients. And, you know, one thing that really surprised me as well was that, you know, even throughout these periods of anti-Americanism that were really prevalent in Greece in the past, there have been Greeks who have developed relationships and worked with Americans for 20 or 30 years. And so, for example, the source that I spoke to at the hotel has hosted American officials in Alexandroupolis for about 20 years. And every time that Americans come to Alexandroupolis, they stay at his hotel. And this hotel is owned by the city, by the municipality. So in addition to the rent that's being paid to the city, 9% of the revenue every year goes back to the municipality to improve municipal programs and things. And then I think one of the most exciting developments as well is that you have new businesses popping up that are catering specifically to American clients. So I was really excited to see that there was a new canteen that just opened at the entrance to the port just a few weeks before the American ship came in November. And so this canteen is called Gorilla.gr Kitchen, and it's specifically designed to sort of feel like an old style retro American cafe in a way. And you have this menu that features hearty meat and potatoes sort of items, like a Texas burger on brioche, warm sandwiches that are filled with slow cooked beef, pork, sausage. These are huge portions. They're really hearty, that are perfect for soldiers, people who are working at the port. And, you know, just like Alexandroupolis has this really strategic position, and that's been really important for the city in the past and in the future, I feel like this canteen owner, Lefteris Chrysanidis, he has chosen a perfect strategic location, and business has been booming so far because of the way that he's catered to the American presence and also the dock workers and the increased traffic at the port.
This all sounds positive, but you did mention that in the past there has been this anti-Americanism. Are there any people that have expressed concerns? Do we still see some strands of that?
Yeah, Thana, I think we do see some strands. They're definitely not the majority voice, but the night that the ARC independents arrived at the port, there was a small demonstration and a rally that happened at the municipal theater. So this was a small protest that was organized by the Greek Committee for International Detente and Peace, and also several trade unions that were based in Kavala and also Alexandroupolis. I think in character, these voices mostly have a sort of political left affiliation. And traditionally, the left has been sort of the locus of anti-Americanism. And so after the rally, there was a march down the main street in Alexandroupoli with about, I would say, 150 people. And they were especially vocal against the NDCA and also the U.S. use of the Yanuli camp, which is part of the updated NDCA. And so they really want to disengage Greece from imperialist plans and wars as part of their statement. And also the unions decried new plans as part of capitalist constant hunt for more and more profit. In addition to this opposition, you have people who are skeptical about how much developments at the port will affect the wider region economically. So there are people who say that the increased presence of the military on a more permanent basis may not lead to increased wages or a general improvement of working conditions. And then there are others who fear that the port's development will come at a cultural cost, incentivizing people from the villages to leave in greater numbers and accelerating the loss of traditions linked to farming and the land.
Stephen, I want to take us back to late November and early December when Alexandroupoli hosted the largest transfer of U.S. military equipment through its port to date. You were there observing how Greek and American teams were working together. What impressed you most about their cooperation?
I was just really impressed by how well orchestrated this collaboration was. These are teams that have worked together for decades. The contractors that the Americans have used have worked with them for 20 years. And so you have really strong relationships where they can almost anticipate what different workers on their teams will need. And so there was an incredible efficiency and incredible speed. And you have this civilian teams, military units, contractors, and dock workers all sort of working in perfect synchrony. And they were able to transfer the equipment off the ship and load the equipment on at an incredible speed. They lost 2 days because of the extreme wind conditions. They weren't able to lower the ramp to offload and onload vehicles. But in spite of that, they still kept to their target. They made their deadline and everything was completed on schedule. So I think it was just an incredible teamwork between the different groups. And just like a film set, all these pieces are kind of moving in synchrony.
Do you think that these person-to-person interactions are what's really going to be propelling this relationship even further moving forward?
Yes, Lana, I think that's true. You know, I think the people-to-people ties are sort of the foundation of the relationship. And I think they're what take the longest to develop, but really they're what carry the relationship forward. And so what I've seen over the past couple months living in Alexandroupoli is just how much these attitudes have changed. I was able to speak with lots of officials and workers, and they've told me that over the multiple visits and the multiple operations and missions that they've done, they've just been able to develop their relationships with the hotel, with restaurants, with local businesses. So I think these ties between the locals and the U.S. forces that have been visiting are really developing to a new level. I spoke with the CEO of the port, who is telling me that these person-to-person ties have allowed the U.S. and the Greek side to start to think in the same way and to operate together. And the welcoming environment that Alexandroupoli has provided has really helped to serve as the foundation for this update to the NDCA. For example, when American officials were staying at the hotel, they threw a Thanksgiving feast to make the visitors feel at home here. And the Chamber of Evros has also been really supportive of these increased ties. For example, they sent out a Facebook message telling business owners that they should accept the U.S. COVID certificates and giving the relevant law from the Greek government supporting that. And so I think you have all these different forces in town that are excited about this relationship and that are working to strengthen it. And you're really seeing the results.
Stephen, it's been great having you on our podcast. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks so much for having me, Ben.
In other news, Greek Prime Minister Kyriakos Mitsotakis on Thursday announced that a raise of the minimum wage will be implemented from May 1st, the second raise after the increase at the beginning of the year. Greece already increased the monthly gross minimum wage by 2% on January 1st this year, raising it up to 663 euros per month. Mitsotakis said that the upcoming increase will be a significant one, and it will be much higher than the 2% rise. The move comes as rising inflation takes a toll on consumers' income. The government has spent about 1.35 billion euros in subsidies to help households and businesses with rising energy bills since September. Last week, it extended this financial relief into January at an additional cost of about 400 million. Finally, Armenia and Turkey agreed to continue talks without preconditions after a first round of meetings aimed at normalizing ties concluded in Moscow on Friday. The Armenian and Turkish foreign ministries described the meeting on Friday as positive and constructive. The relationship between Turkey and Armenia has been historically tense. Turkey shut its borders to Armenia in 1993 in solidarity with its ally Azerbaijan, which was locked in a war with Armenia over the Nagorno-Karabakh region. In 2020, Ankara backed Baku in its latest conflict with Yerevan, which ended after 6 weeks in a Russian-brokered truce. The relationship is also strained over Turkey's continued denial of the Armenian genocide. That wraps up today's episode of The Greek Current. Thanks for tuning in.